Bless the Lord. Sorry to be here tonight.
Amen.
I just have to give God the praise and the honor and the glory, because God is worthy. Amen.
Amen.
So bless the house, bless the pastor and the bishop and my own pastor and husband, my children, Randy and Joseph, and grandson Christian, and my church family. Good to see everybody. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And this whole family here. Bless God. God is good. Okay, my topic today is look at Jesus, and preaching from When We Behold Thy Son, John chapter 19, verse 26 and 27. The scripture says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home."
Amen.
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 When Jesus was on the cross, two of the last people he thought about was his mother and John, who the Bible tells us was the disciple Jesus loved. Jesus is hanging on the cross. In the middle of his suffering, right in the midst of his pain, Jesus' concern was placed not only on the comfort of his mother, but John, the disciple he loved. Jesus, we know, he loved all his disciples like he loved all of us. But there was a special relationship he had with John. John was his best friend, I guess you could say. The Bible wouldn't emphasize the disciple he loved if there wasn't something special going on there. And I believe that John probably knew Jesus. You know, Jesus was the Son of God, yes, but he was also the Son of Man. So maybe John played with him when he was a little boy. You know, he got to know him over the years. So they developed a relationship, and they were close. So Jesus and John, Jesus saw his mother, and he saw the disciple whom he loved, and he told John, "This is your mother." And I believe that Jesus did that because John was like his best friend. And we have to know that some of our best friends, because of that, the special relationship we've developed over time, that's why they have become our best friends. They know us. We don't have to front, you know, we don't have to try to please them. They, you know, they just accept us for who we are, but they yet encourage us to be better. Because a real friend will tell you when you're messing up, you know, that you need to get this right. So it could be that John, I was really trying to, you know, why? Because the Bible doesn't really say why, you know. It just says he was, you know. So, but a real friend is like a brother, but not, because Jesus said, well, the word says there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that was John. But Jesus gave his mother to John, the disciple he loved. He could have given her to his other siblings. I don't know, because I thought about them. You know, because she was their mother too. And I'm like, why did they take care of her? But Jesus gave him to John. But they wouldn't have loved her like Jesus did. Because they didn't know love. Because they didn't know God. So Jesus couldn't lead them, leave her in their hands. So, and Jesus didn't consider them his brethren. He said, my brethren are those who do the will of my Father. So John was considered his brethren, and that's why he left his mom with her. Then I thought he could have asked the other disciples, but they weren't at the cross. So they fled, like you said. They fled, and Peter even denied knowing him, so Jesus wasn't going there. So Jesus picked the right one. Maybe that's why he loved him, because John was committed to him, and so he committed his mother to John. Such a responsibility. I couldn't even imagine trying to take care of Jesus' mother. Some of us don't even take care of our own mother. In the natural, trying to take care of Jesus' mother, that's another story. But Jesus commits other things into our hands too. He can't trust everybody with everything. He will pick and choose who he wants to have what, just as he did with John and his mother, the disciple he loved. Maybe Jesus felt like John loved him too. And that made me think of something, because the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So maybe John followed him and showed his love by doing what he said, and that made him love him a little better, a little more. You know, it's easy to love somebody when they're following you, you know, and they're listening to you, and they're receiving from you. It makes it easier to love them. You don't really want to love somebody when they don't, you know, when they don't love you, you know, so it was probably easier for him to love John, which has made him the disciple he loved. But anyway, the scripture says, and from that moment on, she went to live with him. Now, going back to the main scripture, it says, woman, behold thy son. And I had to look at this word by word. First, the word woman, because the word, that word has been so perverted, you know, because men say woman, you know, it's so disrespectful to women. But that word was penned in perfection at a time when there was no sin in the world. So it was never meant to be used to disgrace, degrade or disrespect a woman. So Jesus called his mother woman. And when he did that, he was using it not only as a term of endearment, but as a way of showing her the highest form of respect and honor and praise he could give her. And then I remember in the Bible where else the word woman was used. At the marriage feast. In fact, the only time that I saw it was used was with Mary, and it was at the marriage feast, and it was at the cross. The most meaningful moment in Jesus' life. Life-changing, life-giving moment. The beginning and the ending of his ministry. At the marriage feast, when they ran out of wine, Mary came to Jesus and she told him, and they ran out of wine, and he said to her, woman, what does that have to do with me? My time has not yet come. And Mary seemed to ignore what he said. And she said to the servant, whatever he tells you to do, do it.
That's right.
And that sort of pushed Jesus into his destiny.
Yeah.
That was a life-changing moment.
Yeah.
And God has placed destiny on the inside of each one of us, too. And sometimes he puts people in our lives. He puts people in our path. And they'll speak something to us. And what they're doing is encouraging us to do what God has placed in us to do. And they push us to maybe come up here and speak. But they encourage us to do things that we don't think we're able to do, or we think that we're not ready to do. But pay attention, because God could be showing you your destiny. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now, at the cross, at the end of Jesus' ministry, a life-giving moment, he calls his mother woman. This time concluding with, behold thy son. And yes, he was committing her into John's hands, but I believe he was also causing her to remember something. As I continue to look at this word by word, I came to behold. And behold means to look. There's a saying that says, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The beholder is the one who is looking. So when Jesus said, woman, behold thy son, he was saying, look at thy son. Look at thy son. Thy was personal too. It means you. It was almost like Jesus was commanding her to look at him. Woman, look at your son. And I think he wanted her to remember something that she pondered a very long time ago. And I have another scripture in Luke chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but I'll tell you the verses. But in Luke chapter 2, the Bible tells us of the birth of Jesus, how the angel appeared to the shepherds and said to them, today in the town of David, the Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah and the Lord. And then it says the shepherds hurried off to find baby Jesus. And when they did, They told him everything that had been told them by the angels, and all was amazed. But then it points out in verse 19, but Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. So when Jesus said, woman, behold thy son, he was reminding Mary of his birth and what had been said of him, and how she pondered him being the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Lord. Woman, behold thy son, look at your son. Then continuing in verse 29, the Bible says that Simeon would not see death until he saw the Savior of the world. And when he did, he prayed and said, now let me go in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation. And then in verse 33, it says, and Joseph and his mother Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Jesus was reminding Mary of this. Woman, behold thy son. Look at your son. Look unto me, your salvation. Hanging on the cross. And then the Bible says, when Jesus was 12, verse 42 to 45, still in Luke, Mary and Joseph got lost. And they're laughing at losing Jesus. But how many of us do that when we go and do things that we know we have no business doing? Jesus is lost. But that's what we do. But they lost him physically. And when they met up with him 3 days later, he was teaching in the temple. And the Bible says they were amazed. And Mary asked him, why did you do this to us? And Jesus said in verse 49, why were you looking for me? Don't you know I had to be about my Father's business? And then Jesus became subject unto them. He was Jesus, but he still had to submit to their authority. Amen. So no matter who we are, we still had to submit to authority. Amen. Praise God. And then it says in verse 51, but his mother, Mary, kept all these things. So when Jesus said, woman, behold thy son, he was capturing Mary's attention with those words. First, by calling her woman, helping her to remember the miracles he did. And then when he said, behold thy son, he was helping her to look at and to behold the miracles he was on that cross. Amen. The Savior of the world.
Yes.
The Messiah. The Lord, our salvation, the Son of God.
Amen.
When Jesus was on that cross, he was talking to Mary and letting her know that even at this last moment, she was yet on his mind. Even on his deathbed, she was yet on his mind. And he was also encouraging her that all these years, from the day the angel appeared to her and said, behold, you will bring forth a son, all these years, she pondered, she marveled, and she kept in her heart who Jesus was and what he did, that she was a part of God's plan, and that she completed her mission of being his mother when he handed her over to John. Woman, behold thy son. And in this is a message of hope, a promise that has been fulfilled, not just to Mary, but to all of us. Whatever mission, whatever assignment God has given us, whoever he has entrusted us to, or entrusted to us, as we look unto him, he will help us to complete it. God has spoken some things to us. Could have been in the last 10 minutes, could have been 20 years ago, could have been yesterday, but whatever he has spoken, he's going to bring it to pass, just as he did with Mary. So we have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who the Bible says, for the joy that was set before him endured the agony of the cross for us. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our salvation. The Son of God. He is our God. Woman, behold thy son. Amen.
Amen.